If there's ever a topic that is dear to my heart, is this one on peacemaking and having understanding among people and to work together, especially since I'm a PK, a preacher's kid. It used to always distress me when I would walk through the church and I would think about where certain individuals used to sit. And I would ask myself the question, and where are they now? When I was in high school, a teacher gave to us an assignment and had several topics, and we had to write a paper, and the paper was to be about 2 pages. And it was to speak about a variety of things, and one of them was how to make good grades in school. Would you believe that that was the most popular topic that the kids in school wrote about? The teacher stood in front of the class and she read one paper after another. And she said, "What amazes me is that the individuals that I am reading this paper that they wrote are not the ones making good grades. But they know how to do it. All the ideas about studying when you get home and all the applications that you make about doing your homework and participating and get good rest at night." She said, "So if you know how to do good work and to make good grades," she said, "why aren't you doing it?" As I read through this section, there are places where we have given topics to, as you know in Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and other things. And this section here is called the Sermon on the Church. And as I think about Jesus and His disciples and the church during this day, church hadn't grown very much. It was still almost an embryo. And Jesus is talking to them about the church. And so as I think about this, then the reality might be that Jesus is talking to His disciples. Have you ever been in a club and there's been a disagreement in the club? Have you ever been in a church and there's been a disagreement in the church? So Jesus is probably talking to the disciples here because the speculations could be that there has been a disagreement among the disciples. And Jesus is speaking to them about how to get along, how to work things out. It's already been mentioned by Shell that we're going to have a meal after church. What he didn't tell you was that one of the things that he is aggressively pursuing are those deviled eggs.
Yes, sir.
Make sure there's some left. See, he's bearing witness with me already. But we know that there is a time for us to come together and to be in fellowship with each other. And the reality is that the church is built on relationships. The church is built on us working together and getting along and learning how to work out our differences. I will never forget Mr. Sanders when I was first pastoring at Orville United Methodist Church, and he said, "You can disagree without being disagreeable." He was my lay leader. And those words have stuck in my mind through the years. You can disagree. And many times in sharing with young converts and new members in the church, and I will look at them and I will say, there's one thing that you understand about the United Methodist Church is that you don't have to agree with me as a pastor on everything. I have heard ministers tell certain parishioners in their congregation that if you don't agree with me, well, there's a church down the road that probably would agree with you. Can you believe that someone would say that? There's a church over here that probably would agree with the way that you're thinking. Why don't you go over there and join them? When the reality is that we are a community of individuals that are going to have our varied opinions, our varied ideas about the way that things should be accomplished. Have you ever heard a student say when they made a bad grade in school, it's the teacher's fault? I hear a rumbling. That teacher doesn't like me. I used to tell my children, there are kids that sit in the class with you, they have the same book, the same teacher, and they're making great grades. What's wrong? When I think about those individuals who made good grades, sometimes people would say, oh, he or she is the teacher's pet. It's easy to be the pet of someone when they do their work, right? When they come to school prepared. How many times have we heard individuals say about the church, it's the conference's fault? It's the preacher's fault. It's the Sunday school teacher's fault. When in reality, we need to be working together to improve our church and to improve, as was mentioned this morning in our children's time, the new program that we're working toward to have a better Sunday school program for all our children. And it's crucial that parents bring their children to Sunday school. If we don't have children in Sunday school, then you don't have a class. So parents have to be responsible, to be diligent, and to be faithful. To work together. Jesus is speaking to us in this passage of Scripture about ways to get along, ways to solve problems. I have a fantasy. It started from my grandmother, who told me this story about a lady that was working at an orphanage. And there was not very many children there at this orphanage, and the lady was praying about it, and she said, I think I'm going to leave and go somewhere else. And she felt like God was speaking to her heart to stay at this orphanage. And she said, well, God, if you'll just help me to understand why you want me to stay. And said, about that time, a little boy come running around the building, and it seemed as though her spirit said, it's for that little boy. And today, that little boy is an evangelist on the mission field of our Lord. She stayed for that one little boy who has reached thousands for the cause of the kingdom of God. My fantasy is, what if we had one little child that came into this church and followed you? Followed you during the day, and followed you at work, and followed you as you attended church, and followed you in the tasks that you did. What type of individual will this child grow up to be? Would he grow up to be a mature disciple of Christ? Would he grow up with someone that had the values of the Christian faith? Because if there's a clear edict that Christ speaks to us, he speaks to us about these little ones, about us as we reach out to those around us and share with them the cause of the kingdom of God. This child sees you in your good moments and sees you in your bad moments. Will that child grow up to be the church and a faithful member in the church? Or what type of church would this church be if that child followed you? And Christ tells us, says, if someone doesn't agree with you after you go to them and try to resolve the issue, then take someone else with you. And then if they won't hear you, treat them as a tax collector and as a sinner, a Gentile. And as I thought on that passage of Scripture, how did Jesus treat tax collectors and Gentiles? Some of his closest associates, tax collectors and Gentiles. Those that he reached out to, and you remember the story of Zacchaeus, and Christ reaches out to him. The woman at the well and others, as Christ reached out to them. So when we think about how we treat these individuals, Christ calls for us to be in relationship. The church, brothers and sisters, is an institution of relationships. Us together with Christ in the world, reaching out to others. What type of church do you want? Then that's the type of church you're going to have. A church that loves each other and cares for each other starts with you. You cannot have a church if you do not have relationships. In the book, Love is Eternal, a story was told about Mary Todd as she was lying on the bed weeping after President Lincoln had been shot. She called in the security person, the bodyguard, and she said, "You were supposed to protect him. What were you doing?" He said, I never thought anybody would ever try to kill somebody so loving and forgiving as President Lincoln. He said, I just wasn't paying close enough attention. I did not see the assassin. I didn't see him when he entered where we were. And she said, I forgive you, because that's what Abe would have done. He would have forgiven you. And little son that was sitting there said, yeah. And Abe would have forgiven the assassin, because that was just his way. He forgave everybody. Jesus has forgiven us of all of our sins. There's not a one that he holds to our charge. They have been placed in the sea, as one of my professors said, of God's forgetfulness, and put up a sign that says, no fishing here. Let us too be in relationship and practice that which our Savior has issued to us. Let us be forgiving those who have injured you. Amen.